All right, Matty. Yeah. Oh, that's good. I tell you what, just good to see this little young kids come up and do something for the Lord. Yeah. You know, they don't mind it.
Nope.
And just like the Bible says, we gotta come as the little babes in Christ. We gotta come as that little child. And when we do, and we come in that capacity, or, you know, we don't worry about if we mess it up or we mess the song up, anything like that. We're not singing for people. We're singing for the Lord, and the Lord knows exactly what our heart is and what it's all about. And the Lord is blessed with somebody that just gets up here and tries. Then have a professional up here and knows all the notes and all of these other fancy stuff and words and everything. You know, I'm jealous of them, but I do thank him. Now I'm gonna just have to take a few minutes tonight. Then we'll all come up and we're gonna pray. But tonight here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I was going to the book of Philippians, but 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I got a couple verses that I want to read, but we need to be close to the ministry that God has put before us, that we can go about doing what he's asked each one of us to do. And we should not be concerned about the way we do it, because God's going to do it the way he wants it done. If we do it wrong, he's going to straighten it out anyhow. And only thing he wants a willing individual that's willing to go and do what they can for the Lord. We don't have that many people anymore that will really want to go out and do anything for the Lord no more. We know what the Bible says where it's talking about the harvest. And you know, the harvest in the field is growing. It's growing as we go through life. It grows each and every day. Because we see more people, they just getting out of church. They don't need church. They don't think they need God at this time. But what they don't realize is that they do need God. They need God now. And if they will just surrender to him, he would help them along the way. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Ochai, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and And Ochaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla. Salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in thy house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hands. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema and Mariah, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, it's talking about several different things here, but one thing that is pinned that we've seen right here is talking about the knowledge. The knowledge. We need to be focused on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be focused on another church or anyone else. We need to be focused on the knowledge that only Jesus Christ can give us. Now, talking about the knowledge, you know, I hear people all the time say, you know, the Lord, you know, he's going to do this for me, and he's going to do that for me. Well, you let me tell you what, if God says in his word, he's going to do it. If we ask him and pray, but that's all he wants us to do is just ask him to do something spectacular in our life. We don't have to go and get so bogged down and so to the point that we get caught up in words. We need to get caught up in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be addicted to him. You know, the day that we're living in, you hear a whole lot about addiction. You hear a whole lot about addiction. You can go to the hospital up there, and you don't have to go no further than the entrance in the hospital there, and you can hear people talk. And there's people there. They're addicted on something. They're addicted on drugs. They're addicted on alcohol. But they're not addicted to the right one. And I want to thank the Lord that I'm addicted not to drugs, not to alcohol, not to women, but I'm addicted to Jesus Christ. And we all need to be addicted to him, and so we can be increased by his knowledge. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We need to be addicted to the people that we come in contact with. And what do we must do? We must be so addicted to them to where if they're hurting, we can sense that they're hurting. And that while they are hurting, or while some of they're going through problems or troubles or something like that we can kind of sense it out. Because there are people that we come in contact each and every day. They are hurting people. They are hurt to the point that they don't know what to do anymore. They don't know who to trust anymore. They don't even know what church to go to anymore because they don't know what this church is going to be teaching or that church. I know one particular individual. They go into church, They'll go to this church, this denomination this week. Next week, they'll go to another one. And then next week, they'll go to another one. And when you've got all the different types of denominations in there and all the different type teaching and the doctrine, you're going to get confused. You will get so confused to the point that you... What's the use of me going? I don't understand. I mean, that ain't what the preacher said last week. I mean, what he's saying here today, he's contradicting himself. But if we'll stay with God's word, if we'll teach God's word, we will never contradict ourselves. I know sometimes that I'll get up here and I'll get to rambling. And I know y'all have heard preachers talk about you out here just chasing rabbits. I don't want to be up here chasing rabbits. I don't want to be up here chasing someone else. I want to be chasing the people that is here. I want to be able to teach them and what they need to know, and teach them the things that will help them. Because if I'm here and if I don't help you, then I don't need to be up here. And if you're not helping me and teaching me some things, I'm not supposed to be here either. Because I can learn from you. We can learn from each other. That's where he's talking about, the knowledge. And that's where Paul is talking about. Paul talks about the knowledge through his writings and everything. Paul, he was a knowledgeable individual. I heard something, yesterday I believe it was, an individual that was on the news. She's I think she's got a program that she talks to people about news and different things like that, I think. I got in on the last part of it. But the individual asked them, says, asked her, says, well, what do you think of Miss Trump, First Lady? She says, I don't think much of it at all. Says she can't even, you mean you won't have her on your program? No. She can't even speak good English. But the lady come back and also told us that, but the thing about it is, she can speak five other languages. And she said, well, what about Donald Trump? She said, well, I don't like him either. You know, they're coming up and they say, I don't like them. I don't like them. And I heard another one this past week was on TV, and y'all probably heard about it too, that one of the singers in California, I believe it is where she lives at, in that rally that they had last Saturday, and her speech and what she said, she says, I'm going to go to Washington and I'm going to blow the White House up. Now, if they let that go, if they don't do anything about that, something's wrong. And something's wrong with her. If they don't like the president, they don't like this country and everything, and they always down and everything, why don't they get on a plane to Egypt or somewhere and go over there and see how they like it over there? They'll come to find out the United States is not a bad place to live. And I thank God for it. I know that we, the United States, we have a whole lot of stuff that's wrong. It's not perfect. God said the people's not perfect. There's not but one that's perfect, and that's Him. So if the people cannot be perfect, you know this land cannot be perfect. Why? Because it's unperfect people that lives in this land. But talking about being addicted, we need to be addicted to the gospel. We need to be addicted to individuals that wants to do God's work. You know, if there was somebody in the Bible that I would love for, to be able to pattern myself after, if somebody comes in and says, you pick out an individual in the Bible that you'd love to be like. You'd love for your Christian life to be like that. And who would you pick? A whole lot of people say Paul. But you know who I would like to be? I'd like to be Job. I'd like to be Job. And all of what Job went through, he still did not turn his back on God. He stayed true to God. And he was a righteous individual. He knew who God was. He was addicted to him. And, you know, speaking about Job, I mean, he was, he lost his family. He lost his career. He lost everything he had but his life. And his wife. It was just him and his wife that was left behind. God was teaching Job something. But not only was God teaching Job something, Job was teaching his wife something. He could teach other individuals something. And even us today, I know it's in Job's in the Old Testament, but still, if we will study out the book of Job, and if we'll read after Job, and if we'll act like Job, we'll be better individuals. Because we're going to have persecution. People's going to persecute me. He's going to persecute you. Why? Why are they persecuting us? They're not persecuting the body of Christ, because we're here. They don't want us to be here. But they're not going to stop me from being here. It's a shame. And what freedom that each and every living individual has. But they see no need in coming and listening to somebody that they'll talk about the one that offers freedom. You take your men and women that's fighting overseas. What are they fighting for? They're fighting for our freedom. I haven't seen, but and I haven't heard of, but maybe a couple, two or three. They're wimps, they're crybabies, and everything. They wanted to go in. They wanted to go into the military. They wanted to go into the military so they could get their training, so they could get their schooling off of the people. But yet, then after they get their schooling and everything, then what do they do? Some just leaving men behind. They won't even be there for them. And you know the same thing that goes on today. Same thing is going on within our cities. Same thing is going on today within our own churches, within our own Baptist churches, within our own independent fundamental Baptist church. It's the same thing that's going on and on and on. Why? People are allowing it to happen. The reason this country's in the shape it's in, we had somebody did not know what to do. The only thing he'd ever run was ever over was some type of organization or something like that. But I don't think he run it all that well. And talking about knowing the Constitution and went to, what, Harvard? And he took up Constitution law. He don't even know how to spell it. Much less practice it. But it says right here, according to Tauber Medical Directory, according to Tauber's Medical Dictionary, I got it spelled wrong. I got direction. But Medical Dictionary, addiction means to have a physical dependence on a substance. We need to have a physical. We need to have a heart. Do we need to be addicted to him? Because if we say, well, no, I'm not going to do this today. You know the reason people won't do or they won't serve God? They say, oh yeah, I'm serving God. I'm going out, I'm going to visit somebody. But they never get there. People don't fear God anymore. I ain't been saved but since 1980. When I got saved. But I can remember my grandmother, and I can remember some of the preachers, and probably if Brother Benny was here, I could ask him the same thing. At one time, people feared God. And not only did the pastor fear God, the Sunday school teachers, they feared God. The deacons, they feared God. Even the individuals, the attendants of the church, they feared God. Why? Because they knew that they didn't do it the right way and according to God's word, that God was going to take them behind the old woodshed. And if you ain't never been taken behind the woodshed by God, if you ain't never been chastened by God, then you ain't never experienced nothing. But if you will just obey God, God don't want to take us behind no woodshed. God don't want to come and correct me all the time. God don't want to chasten me and allow things to happen, allow things to come into my life where I can't be able to afford this and can't be able to afford that. God don't want it. That's not God. God wants me to have everything that is there for me to have. You know, it's just like... And I know you know preachers too. It looks like every 3 or 4 years they got to go out here and they got to get them a new car. I'll say this, unless the car's broke down, unless the engine blows up, they don't need another car. If that car can get them from one place to the other place to talk about Jesus to somebody, that's all they need. I don't need no, oh, I would love to have I'd love to have a new pickup. I really would. I miss my truck. I don't need it. It's something that I want. But my want to, it can get want to all it wants. But it ain't what God wants me to have. If God wants me to have it, if God wanted me to have a brand new pickup every 3 years, He would provide a new pickup in my driveway every 3 years. But how many so-called preachers that you know of that's living in these $300,000, $400,000, and $500,000 homes, driving Rolls Royces and Cadillacs and Lincolns, and they say that God is blessing them? No. I don't believe God blesses individuals like that. The people is blessing them. Because wouldn't I need a home with? It's just three of us. Me, my wife, and my daughter. Just three of us. What in the world do I need with a $500,000 house that's got 8 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, got all these other rooms in it? What do I need all that for? I'm not supposed to stay there at home all that time. And on top of that, I can't sleep in but one bed at a time. And why am I going to change it every week, every day? And, well, I can go sleep in that bed. That my wife ain't made it up, but even if people haven't been in, they ain't made a bed up today. They ain't cleaned it up. So I'm going to sleep. I'm going to go to bedroom in number 2. Then I go in there. They don't come. They don't clean that up. They don't make a bed up. And eventually I'm going to get to the point that I'm going to go through all 8 bedrooms. And ain't none of them going to be made up. Ain't none of them going to be clean. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to have to go sleep on the couch, or the love seat, or whatever, or the recliner.
But I'm not going to do that. I don't need to. I don't need to. The birds, the fowls of the air, they had a place to where they could call home. They had a nest where they could go and they could go to. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, He didn't have a place that He could call home. And a whole lot of times He didn't even get to sleep in a home. But one thing about it, when He was out here preaching, and when He went around and when He talked to people, what did they do? They invited Him home. And He says, today, you and your house will be saved. He will save the whole family. Why? Because they were so generous to Him. So generous.
Our Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the day. And Lord, as we close out the service now, Father, as we all come to the front of the church and just pray for one another. Pray for the church. And pray, Father, for the people that's in this community. Pray for the people that used to be here, Father, that's not here. The Lord, what we pray, what we ask you to do, Lord, that you will do what we've asked you. And as you do what we ask you to do, Father, then we can let the people that we're speaking about tonight, we can turn them over to you. And Father, then we can start talking to you about someone else. Father, I pray, Lord, that each one of us as individuals here, that we can thank you for saving our soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making us whole in you. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do at Faith Baptist Church. I'm still trusting you and I'm still believing in you, Father. I know that the Word of God says, my time is not your time. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So I have to leave it up to you to do what you need to do. And not us, not me or no one else to worry about it. But Father, when we pick it up and we start worrying about it, that's when you say, well, I just need to cease from doing anything right now because they would not be to me. Father, we thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.